Bush sends a signal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. President Bush today is using this morning's op-ed page of the Wall Street Journal to defend his tax cuts. As Democrats prepare to take control of Congress, the president said tax relief and spending restraint are good for the American taxpayer. Bush said now is not the time to raise taxes on the American people. With few details, he also says the budget that he's sending to Congress next month would balance the federal budget by 2012 while funding our priorities and making the tax cuts permanent. The issue of fiscal responsibility is likely to be important as the Democrats take control over Congress tomorrow, Marketplace's Hillary Wickay reports.
The Democrats have promised fiscal discipline. The next Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has proposed a pay-as-you-go rule. That means lawmakers would either have to cut spending, raise taxes, or both to come up with the funds for any new programs. But Robert Bixby has his doubts. He's with the Concord Coalition, a nonpartisan group that lobbies for fiscal responsibility.
I don't think you can do everything that has been promised or implied politically by the Democrats and stick to a strict pay-as-you-go regime.
The Democrats have talked about more aid for college students and boosting Medicare drug benefits. That shortlist alone requires tens of billions. But the biggie is middle-class tax relief. The Alternative Minimum Tax, or AMT, was written to snag the wealthiest of taxpayers, but it's increasingly falling on the middle class.
If they don't do anything about it, they'll probably hear it from their constituents.
But adjusting the AMT could cost the government $40 to $80 billion a year. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Elected officials around the country are preparing their inaugural celebrations. For businesses, these parties provide an opportunity to make big financial contributions with fewer restrictions and fewer public eyes. We get more from Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
In Massachusetts, corporations can't give money to political campaigns, but they can chip in as much as $50,000 to help celebrate the newly elected Democratic governor. In California, Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger plans an expensive inaugural bash. To pay for it, companies like Chevron have donated as much as $50,000. Edwin Bender with the National Institute on Money and State Politics says these contributions, often unregulated, allow companies to buy influence.
It's a business decision, and they're giving money so they can have access to a lawmaker who will be considering policy that may or may not affect their bottom line.
Because the inaugural donations are made after the election is over, Bender says they often get less public scrutiny. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
The wheel will keep spinning for a while. The popular TV game shows Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy will continue airing at least through 2011-2012. Renewals for both shows were announced yesterday by CBS. We know the shows will remain on the air, but what about the host? Pat Sajak and assistant Vanna White host Wheel of Fortune, and Alex Trebek is host of Jeopardy. No word from the network. CBS Television Distribution says it doesn't comment on talent contracts. I guess we'll just have to stay tuned. The markets have been closed for 4 days, but reopen later this morning. This is Marketplace. When is a gift a bribe? Some bloggers who review software are asking that question concerning a recent incident involving Microsoft. Janet Babin reports from the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
When reviewers check out a tech product, they often keep it for a month or so to try it out. Then they have to send it back or pay for it. But a few weeks ago, Microsoft sent about 90 bloggers a $2,200 laptop. It was loaded with the company's new operating system upgrade, Vista. Om Malik at GigaOm.com says the laptop came with an odd letter from the company suggesting what he should do with it.
You can keep it, or you can, you know, auction it and give it to a charity or give it to a friend. I mean, that's the kind of wording which makes you wonder, what are you trying to be too smart here?
Malik sent it all back. Microsoft says it wasn't trying to influence the reviewers. It just wanted a little feedback. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. As we've mentioned, Democrats will be in the driver's seat for both houses of Congress beginning tomorrow. A new AP-AOL poll shows that Democrats have strong public support for one of their key issues, prescription drugs. 69% want the federal government to make it easier to buy prescription drugs from other countries. 79% of Democrats favor the idea, compared with 61% of Republicans. Those with higher education were more likely to support the issue. One business group that hopes to benefit from this plan is the generic drug industry. We get more from Ashley Milne-Tite.
About 56% of prescriptions are for generic drugs these days. Generics are anywhere from 30 to 90% cheaper than their brand name equivalents. Back in September, Democratic Senator Henry Waxman of California spoke at a generic drug industry conference.
It's one of the most effective ways to lower the cost of drugs is to increase the presence of generic drugs in the marketplace.
Especially biotech drugs, he said. They're widely seen as the drugs of the future, but most Americans can't afford them. That is, Waxman and others say, until generic drug makers are allowed to copy biotech drugs once their patents have expired, just as they do chemical drugs. But the biotech industry isn't keen on this idea. They cite the hundreds of millions they invest in research and getting a drug to market. They also claim that there are safety concerns. Kathleen Yeager of the Generic Pharmaceutical Association isn't buying it.
Brand Pharma and Bio-R are trying to play the science scare card in order to keep generics out of the marketplace.
She says the generic industry's greatest hope is that Congress will vote in 2007 to pass a bill Senator Waxman has introduced. It would give the FDA the authority to approve generic biotech drugs.
And then Congress also has an opportunity to remove additional barriers to access, including the growing use of authorized generics by brand companies.
Authorized generics are generics sold under license from the patent holder, brought out once the star product is off patent. They can mess things up for regular generics jumping into the market at the same time. But Paul Howard of the Manhattan Institute points out that companies like Pfizer spend around $800 million developing a new drug. They have to be allowed to make decent profits. Congress should tread carefully.
If we shift the incentives more in favor of generics by cutting patent times, you could see a loss in innovation.
A loss, he says, that would hurt patients who'd miss out on new drug breakthroughs funded by the brand companies. Ross Duvall of the Milken Institute agrees brand drug makers need their incentives. He says that in Europe, where governments have stepped in to cap the prices on some brand name drugs, there's not as much innovation as there is in the U.S.
Today, in the United States, research and development expenditures in the pharmaceutical area are 20 to 25% above Europe.
Still, he says, unlike price caps, an increase in generic competition is a pro-market way to cut drug prices, and that goal should resonate with both political parties. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Have a question about something you've heard on the program? Let us know by visiting our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.